Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now on Masachet Bava Kama Daf Nun Dalad Amud Aleph. At the very bottom of the Amud, we have to take a look back at the second half of Mishnah Vav, which we have on Daf Nun Bet Amud Aleph for a minute, to see the last clause in our Mishnah, which is now going to be analyzed. The Mishnah says, Nafala Tocho Shor Cheresh Shotev Katan Chayav, which could mean, if a shor owned by a cheresh shotev katan falls in, you're nonetheless chayav. Or it could mean that if a shor who is disabled in one of those ways falls in, you're still chayav. Ben ovat evad oma patur. But if a person, even if it's, and I'm adding this as commentary, even if it is a slave or a child who falls in, nonetheless patur, the patur of adam bebor applies to all people. Okay, now to the Gemara in the Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. And as mentioned in the previous podcast, this will be our final podcast of the fifth Perek. We'll begin Perek HaKones in the next podcast, Im Yirtzeh Hashem. Nafala Tocho Shor Cheresh Shotev Katan Chayav. That's the Mishnah. My Shor Cheresh Shotev Katan. What does it mean? Ilem Ashor Shel Cheresh Shor Shel Shotev Shel Katan, meaning that it's genitive and it's a Shor of a Cheresh, meaning Cheresh Shotev Katan refers to the owner. What's the implication? Ashor shel pikeach patur? If the shor is owned by a regular guy, then you're patur. Only cheresh shotev katan. Ve'yachanan shor shehu cheresh, shor shu shoteh shor shu katan. So we have to posit here, Rabbi Yochanan says, that it's not a shor owned by, but rather a shor which is disabled in some way. Well, you have the same problem with the implication. Ashor shel pikeach patur? So you're going to tell me that a shor that is capable is patur if it falls in? So the two takes on it. So Yirmiyah says, no, of course not. We mean you're chayav for all shvarim. But we're saying that it's the less obvious case, because lo mi baya shor shupikeach chayav, obviously if a regular capable shor falls in, he's chayav, because the only reason it got hurt is your boar. If the shor is deaf, then you could argue that maybe it's his deafness that caused the problem, and he would have bumped into something or crashed into something, and the guy for the boar should be pater. I'm talking about lo the pater kamash malan. Therefore, it says that even such a case, you are chayav. Rav Achal Ravina, v'atanya nafala tocho bardat patur. We have a brayta that says that if a bardat fell in to the bardat means somebody who's competent, fell into the boar, you're patur. Now, my lav shor bardat, don't we mean that if it's a shor pikeach, then your patur, mean bardat, is a comment on the shore. Amrle lo, adam. What's bardat means adam. So, elmiat adam ben datu de patur, halav ben datu de chayav. So you're telling me now that only if an adam who is capable falls in, your patur. But if an adam who's incompetent falls into your boar, your chayav? Well, certainly not the case. We said shor velo adam ktiv. Our famous drasha we've seen so many times. Person falls into a boar, you never chayav. Alamai ben dat, so what does it mean, ben dat chayav? Min ben dat. It means a ben dat doesn't mean a person who is competent, it means someone who's a part of the species of ben dat, which means a person, any kind of person. So amalei batanya fal tocho shor ben dat patur, but here we have an explicit braita that says that if a shor ben dat falls in, you're patur. So how do we explain it? So Rava gives a different answer than Rav Yirmiyah. So I'm a Rava Shor v'hu chere, Shor v'hu shoteh, Shor v'hu katan, davka. The Mishnah, when it says Shor chere shetva katan, means like Rabbi Yirmiyah said it, which is a Shor which is cheresh or pikeach or cheresh or katan, Shor cheresh shoteh v'katan. Aval Shor shu pikeach patur. My time at the boile yunayim ezel. A Shor that's capable should watch where it's going, and you're not liable for it. This we had a couple daf earlier. If a shor who's incompetent or blind or it's nighttime fell in, chayav. If it's a capable shor during the day, you're patur, because he should have looked where he was going. So that's how we're going to parse the Mishnah now. Shor chereish shotev katan, chayav, davka. A shor pikeach, you're not always chayav, for instance, if it's daytime. Okay, the last Mishnah of the Perek takes us from Bor all over Shas. Echad Shor, Echad Kol Behemah, the rule, although we've been talking about a Shor the whole time, of damages, applies whether the animal fell in is an ox or any other kind of animal. And that's true about Nefilat Tabor. That's true about Hafrashat Har Sinai. We're at Har Sinai in Perek Yotet of Shemot. We were commanded the people and animals, Shor V'Hadam, she has to stay away. Hadam V'Behema have to stay away from Har Sinai. That applies to all animals. Ulatashlume Kefel, even though the context of a ganav at the end of Perek Chafalof of Shemot that mentions that you have to pay double specifically mentions Tzonu Bakar. Nonetheless, it applies to all animals. Ula Hashavat Aveda, that even though there's only a particular thing mentions their shore and set, etc., nonetheless, it applies to all animals. Lifrika, the mitzvah of helping another person unload his animal if he's having difficulty with it. Azov Tazovimo, that is not just chamor, as it mentions in the Pasuk, but any animal. Lechasima, muzzling an animal while it's working in the field, which it says explicitly, lo tachsom shor b'disho, but applies to all animals. Lekilayim, you're not allowed, and kilayim is two things, you're not allowed to work different breeds together, and you're also not allowed to cross breed them, to mate them. That applies to all animals, not just shor v'chamor yachdav. Ule Shabbat, the Torah says, in the version of Aseret HaDibrot in Parshat Vetchanan, it says, shorcha v'chamorcha. But it applies to your horses and your camels and everything else too. V'chein chayav v'of kayotze behen. Not only is it true about all animals, it's true about all chayot, all wild animals, and all birds. In kein laman amashor v'chamor, so why does the Torah always say shor v'chamor? Elish diber katu v'hoveh. And here, shor v'chamor is referring to boar. Why does the Torah say v'nafal sham ashor v'chamor? Because the Torah is talking about, at the time of the Torah, with a typical animal that would be walking around and would possibly fall into the boar, likely a shor v'chamor. Okay, now let's go through all of these. Nefilat Habor, how do we know that every animal is included in boar? Because it says, Kesef yashiv liv'alav, you have to pay back the master. Kol de'it le'balim, meaning anything that has a master, kedam run. And we said, oh, so if that's the case, what about Kelim? So, okay, so Kelim are knocked out. If that's the case, what about Adam? Okay, they're both knocked out by the Pasuk. Now, L'Hafrashat Har Sinai, the second thing on the Mishnah was that all animals were included in the command to be separated from Har Sinai. Because Im Behema, Im Ish Lo Yechye. V'chaya B'chlal Behema Havye. So Behema includes all animals. And that includes Chaya. Im Behema, Im Ish. Says im the rabot tafot. That's there to include even fowl. Latashlume kefel kedamrinan. Famous drasha. I'll call dvar pesha, and it goes al sal al veda al shor al chamor al set etc. And kalal called dvar pshia. The fact is, as al call dvar pesha means anything to which negligence applies, which certainly includes any sort of animal. Lahashavat aveda. Where is that? L'chol avedat achicha. Anything that your brother loses. That means all sort of animals. Good. Lifrika, how do we know that? Yalif chamor chamor mi Shabbat. We're going to see Shabbat in a couple minutes. But prikai is, if you see, chamor sona'acha, it says chamor, and we know that chamor mentioned in the second version of the Dibrot in Shabbat really ends up not meaning, but expanding to all animals. Same thing here. Lechasima, how do we know that chasima, muzzling, applies to all animals. Yalif shor shor mi Shabbat. It says lo tachsom shor b'disho. And in the context of Shabbat, it says shor cha b'chamor cha. And again, that applies to all animals. And we'll have to see the source for that. Likilayim. So e kilayim de charisha. If it's an issue of plowing together two different kinds of animals, yalif shor shor mi Shabbat. It says lo tacharosh b'shor b'chamor yachdav. So because shor in Shabbat ends up applying to all animals, same thing here. Ikilaim the harba, if it's the mixing of breeds of, you know, of crossbreeding, yalif behemtacha behemtacha mishabbat. Lo tabik behemtacha lo tabi akilaim. And behemtacha is mentioned in Shabbat, and that ends up meaning all of them. Okay. Now, vigabe Shabbat minalan, how do we know Shabbat itself applies to all animals? Meaning any animal that I own cannot do malach on Shabbat. And at least I can't allow it to do malacha. I can't generate that it does malacha. Tan Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Dibrot HaRishonot Nemar. Dibrot HaRishonot refers to the version of Aseret HaDibrot found in Sefer Shemot. It says, Abdecha v'matcha uvehem tacha, just as behema. of the Dibrot HaAchronot, in the second version, in Dvarim Ne'amar, V'shor Chav HaChamor Chav HaChol Behem Techa. There it's explicitly mentioned Shor HaChamor and all animals. Now, V'alo Shor HaChamor B'chlal Kol Behem Ahayu. Shor HaChamor already included in Kol Behem Techa, or Behem Techa, in the first Dibrot. Lame Yatsau, why are they mentioned explicitly here? Lamar L'chama, Shor HaChamor Amur Kan Chayav Of Kayotze Behem. Just like Shor HaChamor here, are just examples of any sort of animal, even fowl, So in any of these cases. Now, Ema, why don't I say as follows? Behema, now we're doing something very interesting of taking a Parsha in Shmot and a Parsha in Dvarim and reading them together, but that's part of how we look at the relationship between the two versions of the Dibrot. Behema Dibrot Rishonot Klal. When it says Behemtecha in the first Dibrot, and that's the last mention it makes of animals there, that's a klal. Shorchav achamorcha dibrot achronot, when it says shorchav achamorcha all the way in Dvarim, that's a prat. Klal uprat in makal, amasher b'prat. Whenever you have a general statement and then examples, the examples are the full list. Shor v'chamor in midyach v'nilo, which means you could let your horse do malacha on Shabbat. So Amri, the answer was, v'chol behem techa, d'dibrot achronot, chazar v'chalal. When it says, shorcha v'chamorcha, v'chol behem techa, you now have the closing klal. What's the rule? Klal uprat uklal, yitad en lekan uprat. V'aprat mefurash balei chayim, v'chol balei chayim. So what do we know about shor v'chamor? They are balei chayim. So then all balei chayim. But we could find something much tighter about shor v'chamor, which are not shared with a lot of other balei chayim, and this we saw earlier. Remember, the din of a shor and a chamor and many other animals, but only behemot, is that if they die, their nevela is matam magov masa, meaning that if you touch it or you carry, even without touching, the nevela of, let's say, an ox, you're tamei. That's not true about a bird. I've called the Rashi Latom Tam Megam Asav Al Ofot Lo. So if that's the case, fowl could do Malach on Shabbat. So Amri Imkei Nichtov Rachman Achad Prata. If the Torah only wanted to keep it to a limited use of the prat as an example, it would have mentioned Shor or Chamor. In other words, by mentioning both, the sense is it should be expansive and find a larger, so we say, a lower common denominator. But that doesn't work because Hei Nichtov Rachmana, which one do you want the Torah to write, Shor or Chamor? Ikat Rachmana Shor, if the Torah only wrote Shor, so Havmena Karv Gam Mizbeachin. Yeah, maybe Shor, which can go up in the Mizbeach, and therefore would apply to ovines and the bovines, etc., but only those, cannot do Malacha on Shabbat. Shein Karv Gam Mizbeach Lo, but maybe a donkey could do Malacha, and a horse could do Malacha. Ikat Rachmana Chamor, therefore the Torah had to write Chamor. Ikat Rachmana Chamor, if the Torah wrote Chamor, Havmena Kadosh B'Bukhorain, Shein Kadosh B'Bukhor Lo. I would think only those things that have Kedushat Bechora. Remember, Chamor is the only animal that's Tamei that has Kedushat Bechora. Not a horse, and not a zebra, and not a giraffe, perhaps, but certainly not the animals that we know are Tamei. They don't have Kedushat Bechora, so I would think that Shabbat doesn't apply to them. Ketav Rachman Ashor, therefore I need Shor and Chamor to say, so that I can teach them both. But that means I need them both, which means that I no longer have a more expansive sense, and I'm back to where I was earlier, saying maybe the prat is only taking me to something that has tumat nevela, which means of is not in. Ella v'chol behem techa ribuyahu. When it says v'chol behem techa in dvarim, that's a ribuy, meaning it's there to say anything, all animals, including even fowl. Every time it says kol, that's a ribui and not a klal. In other words, it's not defined by the rules of kol uprat. In the context of Maser Sheni, a very famous pasuk, it says kol, and we don't read that as a ribui saying you can bring everything, but really we read it by the contours of kol uprat to define and to limit. Tanya v'natata, kesa v'chol ha-shatav v'anafshecha. Take the money from Pidyon Maser Sheni, Kabbalah Yerushalayim, and you spend it on whatever you want, the herd, the flock, wine, beer, and then anything you want. What's the rule? The first phrase is a klal, the middle phrase, four examples are prat, and the last one is a klal. Klal prat, klal prat. What's the rule? Mahaprat mefurash. Primi, privi, gudule karka. What do we know about bakar, batzon, yain, v'shechar? They are all things that come from another pri, and they grow somehow from the ground. The animals eat from the ground. I've called primi primi gdule karka. So therefore you can't, for instance, buy salt with Maser Sheni money. Right? Good. Now, so you see that kol in that pasuk is not seen as a ribui to say and include everything, but rather kol part of klal, and it's defined along those parameters. So the answer we give is bechol klala, kol ribuya. So therefore, when it says v'natata kesef bechol, so that's a klal. When it says kol behemtacha, that's a ribui. See, ba'itema kol nami klalahu. You know what? Even the word kol, like we have, normally is a klal and not a ribui. Miuhai kol dehacha ribuyahu. But in the context of behema, then of Shabbat, it really is a ribui. Why? Midahavel mihtav uvehemtacha kirichtiv b'dibrot harishonot. All it had to say was shorcham chamrcha uvehemtacha. Just like it says in the Brot Rishonot. Chatav v'chol behemtacha, but instead it said v'chol behemtacha, shma mina ribuya. So now you see that that particular use of kol, it really is a ribui in trying to say everything. So we originally, with our klal or part of klal, ran into a problem because we should limit the application to animals that, like shor v'chamor, have tumat nevela b'magav masa. Therefore we said we're not going to go that route. We're going to say v'chol behemtacha is a ribui. It says everything is included. Now, hashda amart kol ribuyahu, now that you say that, behemtacha dibrot rishonot v'shor v'chamor dibrot acharonot lamali. Why do I need behemtacha in dibrot rishonot at all? I have it in the Dibur Achronot. Why didn't he shor v'chamor? Because when he wants to say v'chol behemtacha, that's everything. So Amri, the answer is shor lagmure shor shor l'chasima, chamor lagmure chamor chamor l'prika, behemtacha lagmure behemtacha behemtacha l'kilayim. It's a very interesting take. Is the Torah wrote these words in the context of the mitzvah of Shabbat, not for Shabbat, but to associate three other halachot. One where it says behema, that's crossbreeding. One where it says shor, that's chasima, muzzling. And one where it says chamor, that's prika, unloading the load. To tell you that just like in Shabbat, that word applies to really all animals, that law applies to all animals. Similarly, those three laws all apply to all animals. Now, if that's the case, then Adam should also be also be kilayim, because after all, in Shabbat, Adam and Behema are equal. They all can't work. Now remember, there's two kinds of kilayim with an animal, and one of them is to work together. We say a person's allowed to work with an animal. He's allowed to plow with an animal. It's only two animals you're not allowed to put. So if kol's a ribui, then we should say that Adam, if you're going to say that the mention in Shabbat is there to inform kilayim and prika and chasima, then we should apply Shabbat and say Adam is also a certain kilayim, meaning of pulling together. So Amar Papa, Papunoi Yodi Tama de Hamilta. They know how to answer this. Umanu, who's that? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. He explains it Amar Kra beautifully. Why did the Torah prohibits you, your animals and your slaves working on Shabbat? L'man yanuach avdecha v'matcha kamocha. So they should all rest like you. What's that mean? V'anachai kashtiv lo davar acher. The only place where you and your slaves and your animals are all considered equal is for the rest of Shabbat, resting on Shabbat. But not for kilayim, for instance. Okay. Now a little bit of agadash. Sha'al Rabbi Chanina ben Agil. As Rabbi Chia bar Abba, neimah b'dibrot rishonot lo neimah b'hem tov. The word tov does not appear in dibrot rishonot. In the context, the only context that would appear would be in kibur aveim. Kaber tavicha v'timecha l'man yirichun yamecha al hadama. In the second dibrot, it's l'man yitavlach. L'man yirichun yamecha l'man yitavlach. You should have a long life and it should be good for you. Dibrot achronot neimah b'hem tov. So why does tov only appear in the second dibrot? Amar lo achta shualeni lama neimah b'hem tov shualeni im neimah b'hem tov im lav. He said, why don't you ask me, instead of assuming that it says tov, why don't we see if it does? She'eni yodem neimah b'hem tov im lav. Klachetz rav tanchum bar chani loy shayara gilitz rav yishuv ben levi shabaki ba'agadah. He says, go to this rabbi, he's an expert in agadah. Say, I don't even know if it says it there. So go to him, he's an expert in agadah, and ask him. Azalagabe, amarle mimenu lo shamati. He said, I did not hear it from Rabbi Shuman Levi. He went to Rabbi Tanchum. He said, I did not hear anything from him. Alakach amarle Shmuel Barnachum achi imosh Rabbi Acha Barchanina. So I heard it from this fellow who is the uncle of Rabbi Acha Barchanina. And he said as follows. So it was either his uncle or his grandfather. He said, you know why the first Dibrot, so that now we're reading it as follows, that the Dibrot that appear in Parshat Yitro is the version that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu originally. He broke those. When he went up and carved it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a slightly different version, and that's what we have in Vayetchanan. That is, by the way, not the general view, not in Chazal, and certainly not in the Mishonim, of reconciling the two Dibrot. Chazal famously says, Zachor v'Shamor, Zachor is in Shmot, and Shamor is in Dvarim, B'dibur Echad Nemru. Alright, in any case, V'chisofanish Tavere Mayhave, who cares that they're originally going to break? Why didn't say Tov? Rashi Chas v'Shalom Paska Tova Yisrael. Rather, Meshua Haro'et Tet B'chalomo Simanya Fellow. Matama, so he makes a comment, this really fits into the sugi at the end of Brachot, that goes through all these different things. If you see a dream, and you see a nun in your dream, and you see a goose in your dream, and all of these different things, what they may mean, including particular letters or words, what that indicates, and what sort of things are going to happen to you. So he says that if you see a tet in the dream, tet b'chalamo, siman yafelo, that's a good sign. It's a sign that something good is going to happen. My Tama, why do you think that's the case? Ilai mishum nichtiv tov, because you think that the word tov is written that way, so that means that because the fact that tet is the first letter in the word tov, then that's the reason that seeing a tet in a dream is such a good thing. So, Eima v'tatatiyam matate ashmad, we have a pasuk in Yeshayahu, a very terrible pasuk. I will sweep her out with the sweeping of destruction. So, tet is, can somehow have bad stuff. He says, chad tet kamrin. He said, no, tatatiyah has a few tets. I mean, if you see one tet. So, Eima tumata b'shuleha. He said, yeah, you have a pasuk in Echa. You have a few pasukim in Echa that start with tet. That are, of course, sad, because Echa is an abecedarian acrostic, so you got tets. So, tumata b'shuleha. So, tet bet kamrin. I didn't mean if you saw a tet in a dream. I mean if you saw a tet and a bet. So, ema tavu ba'aretz she'areha. Right? So, any time you say a tet is so good, or a tet and a bet together, I can find you a tet and bet that are terrible. Her gates sunk in the ground. Halahoyo patach bo akatuv tova tchila. He says the reason that a tet is such a good thing is the first time tet shows up, it's with the word tov. Shem reshit ad vayar limata orki lokativ tet. There's no tet from the beginning of the Torah until the word tov. Oh, so that's why it's a good thing. Reshuv and Levi haroeh hespeid b'chalamo chasu alav min hashamayim ufta'u. Said parenthetically, if you see a eulogy, and presumably a eulogy about yourself in a dream, that means that really you were supposed to die and they saved you. And hanimili b'chtava, but that's only if you see it written out, not if you heard it being said, if you see it written out. This, of course, is a sugi that belongs, as I mentioned, towards the end of Brachot. Just one line from before, just to clarify, when Rashi said, Chas v'shalom paska tovam Yisrael, what he's saying is that would have been the end of good for Yisrael if the tov that was written on the first luchot, when the first luchot were broken. So he's supporting the answer and substantiating the answer that says the reason that Tov was not written in the first Luchot was because they were going to break. Okay, the end of the Mishnah said, V'chein chayav v'of kayotze behen, that all these rules that we said apply to all animals, not just shor v'chamor, even apply to chayav v'of. Amar Shlokish, kan shana Rebbe, it's commenting on this Mishnah that Rebbe said, Tarnigol, a chicken, Tavas, a peacock, ufisioni, a pheasant, kilaim zavazef, they mate with each other, that's kilaim. It's a pshita. They do end up mating with each other. I might think that they're one mean. Kamashmalan. That there's not. Amar Shmuel, avaz vavaz habar kilaim zabazeh. Shmuel said that a regular goose and a wild goose are kilaim. So my Rav Chanan, my Tama, Chanan, my Tama, why are they kilaim? Ila mishum dahai arich kuei, vahai zutar kuei, because one has a long neck, one has a short neck, and that's going to make them separate species. It's called crossbreeding. Amiata gamla parsava gamla ta'aya, a Persian camel and an Arabic camel. The high alim kuei, the high katin kuei, one has a strong neck, one has a weak neck, or a thin neck. And we all know that they're not kilaim, they can be mated. So they can't be the size of the neck. That one of them, of the geese, has its genitals inside, one has it outside, which defines it really as a separate species. One of them becomes pregnant with only one egg, and the other one becomes pregnant with several eggs. So you could see from the beginning of gestation that they really are different species. Amar Yirmi Amar Shlakish. Shlakish said an interesting halacha. Amar Bia Shnei Minim Shibayam. If you mate two different kind of sea species, loket, you're also loket. My Tama, where do you get that from? In Breishit, I didn't have room on the page to put these psukim, but in Breishit Aleph, it says, "Kol of kanaf lemineo v'chol behema lemina," and also in the sea, it's also mentioned of leminehu, which means that we recognize species differentiation on land and in the sea. Boy, Rachba had the following thing: Hamanig beiza v'shivuta. If you would somehow lead a carriage or something with a goat and then some sort of a sea animal, they'd be leading it together. Mahu. Since a goat never goes into the sea and this other one never comes on land, which I don't know how they're leading it, but in any case, a theoretical. So lo klum avid, you could say that they're not in the same world, so you're not calling it kilayim. Odilma hashta miat kamani, but reality is right now they're working together. So managavina elmiata, so he tried to bring an analogy. Chiber chita usorabi ado. Let's say put wheat and barley in one hand. Zorachita ba'aretz u'sorah b'chutzalaretz, and he planted them right on the border of Eretz Yisrael, the chita on one side and the sorah on the other side. Hachanam and mechayev, you think that you're chayev? Because after all, there are two things that are coming from different areas, and you say that even though they're on different, shall we say, sides of the border, you're still chayav, and we all know that you're not. But that, of course, is a bad analogy. Amri hachihashta hatam eretz makom hayechiyuva, chutzalaretz lo makom chiyuva. He said, you're not liable for kilayim outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, clearly, you're taking one half that's chayiv, one half that's potter, and saying if you mix them, you're not chayiv. Of course you're not chayiv. Hacha idi v'ini chiyuvahu. But you gotta remember that according to what we earlier stipulated, mating different species of the sea is a liability. Making different species on land is liable. If you take one from each and match them together, that's not like chita u'sorah that's on the border, one on Eretz Yisrael, one on Chutz La'aretz. It's like they're both in Eretz Yisrael. Or theoretically, as if you had two different Eretz Yisraels and somehow they were to come together. Okay, in any case, that's how we end our parak with this wide vista of halachot that apply to all sorts of different animals, including animals from the sea, that in the Torah are presented either with the word behema, or shor, or chamor. In any case, Adran alach shor shnagachat hapara, shekoach to all the lomdim for our successful study of, so far, half, both in chapters and in dapim, of Masachet Bava Kama, almost in Dapim, and we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem on Daf Nun Hei Amud Bet, with the beginning of the sixth parak, Parak HaKones, Tzol Nadir, Mirtz Hashem in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.